All right, praise God, watch radio here in New York. We're live on the radio May 14th, 2016. Just to get through the beginning part of the broadcast, the toll-free number is 877-734-6327. Mailing address is Watchmen Radio, Rich Keltner, K-E-L-T-N-E-R, and that's 47 West Lake Drive. That's two words, West Lake, not one. And that's Patchogue, P-A-T-C-H-O-G-U-E, New York, 11772. Faith Radio Project is ramping back up this week. I'm definitely preparing some and backlogged in that a lot. So if you need one, get a hold of us toll-free or write in at that address I just gave you. In the meantime, we got past John Kyle at the bottom of the hour. And we got Dean Odle. I don't know if he's been on before. He may have. It's hard for me to remember everybody over the years. But we're going to be patching him on in a minute. And Chatbox, if you ever want to go to that, some people go there. It's mixlr.com/Watchmen Radio. Watch M-E-N Radio. So let's try to get Dean. Redbeard is M-I-A. I'm going to get Dean on in about 1 minute. With that being said, the abomination Antichrist Obama, as I predicted in 2007, late 2007, listen, I warned everybody about this guy, okay? And many people came against me for that. Just like many people came against me for in 2007, okay? Coming against 2006, coming against Todd Bentley, okay? Oh, yeah, yeah. I was on the radio back then screaming about the abomination of this wacky. Listen, we are all on the record with that. And that false revival, no repentance, no substance to the foundation of the gospel, bypassed right into wacky, gigalite anointing, like, you know, I don't know what you call it. God forgive me for even saying anointing. Let's just say it's some type of demonic thing. I don't know what the heck, what it was. Now you have this twitching, you know, spasmating, and then feathers. You know, it's just crazy. So we've been exposing that for years. Now, this Obama character, as you know, since many years on Watch Radio, I hate to say it, but I was right about this guy. And actually, the dream I had about him in, was it 2009? I can't remember exactly. But that dream of him manifesting into Antichrist, okay, is this guy is operating in a full-fledged, this Baphomet is a hermaphrodite. That's what all this confusion that you're seeing going on, you know, sending it down to the children is very demonic. You know, getting the children all mixed up. Oh, well, you're a girl today. No, you're a boy. You know, and they're all, everybody's whacked out, and it's all coming from the top. Now, it started with the gay marriage. You know, constantly twisting laws in Scripture. That's what he said he would do. In the book of Daniel, he would use the laws. And we're seeing this guy desolate the whole world with this militant Muslim agenda, militant homosexual agenda. I mean, you've never seen such abominable things going on. Okay? You just haven't. And you know what? You've never seen so many Christians be killed before as you have been now. It's all rooted into him financing, he calls it ISIL. It's ISIS. He's the one that was supplying arms to them and getting them ramped up. He could have wiped them out when they were on the road in Iraq for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks, they were in open road. No hills, no trees. Just, you know, thousands of ISIS troops, boom, could have wiped them out. You know why he didn't wipe them out? Because he knew what he was getting. Genocide was coming to Christianity. He hates Christianity. I believe he's a Satanist, but he's a Muslim slash Satanist, and all Muslims are Satanists, if you ask me. They worship a moon god. They don't worship the same god we do. They worship a demon. That's why when you talk to them, they start flipping out. And then you got the moderates, they don't know what they are. And they're kind of in the middle. Well, we have the moon god, but he's kind of on the side. You know. And then you got the real moon god worshipers that completely whacked up and want to kill everybody. So, this, what's going on this week with using monetary system and the threat of the cutoff of the monetary system to schools for not complying with his militant homosexual agenda, impregnating the minds of children with this concept. Totally insanity. Stand by.
Hello.
Hi, Dean, you hear me okay?
Yeah, hear you good.
All right, you sound a little bit far from the microphone.
Yeah, because I just answered through my...
Okay, you're good now.
My computer, yeah.
All right, praise God. I don't know if you've been on watching radio before, have you?
I was on one night when I think you had to, you were out and, Omega Man did it for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a while back.
I don't remember that, but yeah, praise God. And I wonder where I was even, but I'll tell you, you know, listen, with that being said, I am so disturbed this week with what's going on. I don't want to lead you in a direction whenever the Lord is impressed upon your heart. I don't know. But I just want to touch on the fact that what we're seeing here with the school transgender law, I just had to vent a little bit on that. I had a rant on that. I'm sorry. You know?
Yeah. Well, you can imagine. I live here in Alabama. That doesn't go over too well here.
Yeah. Well, even in Alabama, they're going to have to comply have federal funding completely cut off from the schools. Yeah. Right? I mean...
Probably be the best thing that ever happened to us.
Unbelievable what's going on. With that being said, I am pro-Trump, as you know, and, you know, last July I had a dream of Trump that he would prevail. Many people mocked it. He was only, what, 2% or 3% back then?
Right.
And, you know, that dream... It seems when you have dreams and they come to pass, more people hate you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's almost like unbelievable. But it's like the people that have false dreams with false nothing, and nothing ever happens, and they when nothing happens, people forget that nothing happens, and then they come out with something else, and then that something else never happens, and then something new comes out, and that doesn't happen, and this goes on for years.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Well, you can imagine the kind of flack I caught from being a pastor and coming out for Trump, you know, when I did. So... But, you know, I wasn't really going to be getting involved in it. And the Lord spoke to me very strongly.
Yeah.
You know, about that his hand was upon him. And that he was his choice. It was real simple. I was like, okay, that's all I need to know.
That's pretty simple.
Yeah.
That's pretty simple. You know, my hand is upon him. And you know what? That's sometimes all you got to hear from the Lord for direction. For direction. Right.
He spoke, this is what the Lord gave me, this is what the Lord spoke to me about Trump. This was in January.
Yeah.
This is before the primary started. And, you know, I mean, I was watching the different ones, Cruz, and, you know, I of course, I know the truth about the Bush family, so I wasn't interested in hearing Jeb Bush at all. And I had my suspicions about Ted Cruz and his CFR wife, and but, you know, I was just, you know, pretty much wasn't going to get involved. And then the Lord just one night I was praying. The Holy Spirit came all over me. I was in tears. I was weeping and praying and intercession. And it doesn't happen to me every day like that. And praying for our country. And then the Lord spoke to me and he said, said that my hand is upon Trump. He said very clearly. He said my hand's upon him. He said I am turning his heart toward me. He will protect. He will do his best. What the Lord told me, he will do his best to protect America, to protect Christians, to protect Israel. He will be a leader that we need in the time of the tribulation.
Wow.
And I was just like, I know, I was blown away. And then the Lord told me this. He said, it's not automatic. He said, you must pray for him, and you must vote, and you must speak out. And so I did that. I mean, I went full, you know, all in, even to the point I've got Trump bumper sticker on my car. I got Trump signs in my yards. They've been trashed and stolen.
It's funny you mention that. My mother, I put a Trump sticker on her brand new car, 2016, whatever it is. And she went to the movie theater, and Bernie or Mexican mafia people, they just destroyed it. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, they scraped the sticker off and everything. You know what the police said? Get a new sticker when you get the car fixed.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. It's been the craziest election season that I've seen. But the fact, you know, and that's what I've had some people. I mean, I had some diehard, you know, Christian brothers that I love disagreeing with me, you know, all in for Cruz. And I kept telling them, I'm like, they kept telling me, you're just hard on Cruz and you go easy on Trump. I said, this is not about whether Trump's more righteous or Trump's a true Christian or not a true Christian. I said, this is what the Holy Spirit said. And I said, you know, and I'm harder on Cruz because Cruz is not God's choice. It's that simple.
Yeah, well, that's not good enough for a lot of people because, you know, they feel, listen, it's holy one-upping. You know, someone just feels they're very discerning and then whatever you're discerning is not really accurate, and you get into this who's hearing from God and who's not hearing from God issue,
right.
Which is very, 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 it's a very real issue.
Right,
but
right.
The problem with it is that when someone is seasoned from hearing from the Lord, and someone is seasoned from hearing from dreams, for instance, mm-hmm. seasoned a word of knowledge, and somebody that is not and is inaccurate over and over and over again, they're a problem. Because there's no track record for that person. There's only failure, which is good. But if they recognize their failure and defeat of guidance and spiritual revelation and interpretation of spiritual revelation, then they can grow. But because they harden their heart, stiffen the neck, and they continue on to press on in fallacy, they can't break through. Okay, so, yeah, when you were talking to these Cruzonites, you know, their minds were completely implanted in the religious philosophy of the men. Meanwhile, he's got no problem with Mormons laying hands on him. I mean, how much deep revelation could he have in Christianity and the Christian faith if he's in alliance with the Mormon demon god?
Oh, I went off on that.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
Are you serious? I mean, come on.
I mean, he's in bed with the two Mormon guys. And, you know, I mean, it's just, I had to do a show. You know, we do our radio show every Tuesday night. And I probably did about 6 hours on just Cruz and Trump issue.
Well, it needed to be done. And the reality of it is that they're wrong. They were wrong.
Right.
Okay, it's obvious. I mean, if you can't see the hand of God on Trump at this point, you're spiritual. You got to pray for God to even give you just some spiritual insight.
Oh yeah. Well, just the fact you look at some of the mistakes that he has made, some of the, you know, verbal gaffes and where they've trapped him at times, and you know, and you look at all the negative ads and the negative press and the spin, and all the millions, tens of millions of dollars spent against him, and he still wins. I mean, that in itself shows you something is going on, and he says it. He says.
Everybody says it. That's why they say he's Teflon. They can't take him down. That's because the hand of God's on him. That's why.
Right. You know, it's just like, and I tell people, I said, look, you got to know the Bible and you got to know the Holy Spirit. I said, God raised up Nebuchadnezzar. He was evil. He was pagan. And he told Jeremiah the prophet, tell my people to submit to him and you'll survive. You'll stay in your homes. You'll stay in your land. But if you fight against him, then you're going to die by the sword and the famine and the pestilence. That's Jeremiah 38. Mm. And, you know, they didn't want to receive it. The priest, the children of Israel, the leaders, the king, they didn't want to hear it because it wasn't what they wanted.
Yep.
And, you know, I told them it's the same thing. What's good about it, you know, when I started back in January and I started sharing it, I did, the good part of it, I did hear from a lot of Christians that go, I felt the same thing, but it was kind of confusing to me because it was going against, you know, what my head's telling me one thing and the Holy Spirit's telling me another thing. But I've seen it divide pastors and friends and my wife's family.
Well, it's good. It's good in a way because you know the true and the false now. And I hate to say it, but they're wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And if they can't see the hand of God on that guy, I don't know what to say. Oh well, he was a divorced. You know, they come up with all these things, sticks and stones to throw at him. And I'm like, wait a minute. You know, I did a message a couple weeks ago about how Josiah was a mighty man of God. He was a mighty king. I believe he was the son of Hezekiah. I'm not 100% sure. And, yeah, he was. And the key with that is that he led some of the greatest Passovers and reinstated and ground up the golden calf cult up in Samaria. You know, one of the few people that brought real true revival to the land.
Right.
And he was, I guess, a little bit on the high horse in religious pride. And the story is Pharaoh Necho was coming out to do battle somewhere else in another region. And Josiah didn't receive that. And then Pharaoh Necho warned him and said, hey, look, I'm on a mission from Yah, too. So stay out of my way. And right. Josiah said, no way. And then marched out. Didn't consult any prophetic, which was a big mistake. And got killed in that battle.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes, you know, you just don't know what the Lord is completely doing. I know you think you do. I know some people think they do. But in reality, you probably don't.
Right.
You can't really put God in a box. And if God wants to use a specific individual that you deem to be an abomination, that you deemed to, that you don't know everyone's heart.
Right.
You might say, well, the way he speaks, he's evil. Because out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. Listen, we don't know. Okay, so be careful. Okay, that when you're attacking others. Amen?
Yeah, well, you know, and too, I was thinking, I've always thought about, you know, I think about Saul, you know, before he became the Apostle Paul. I wonder how many Christians were sitting there going, they just wish this guy would go away. I mean, he was a terror. He was putting people in prison. He was putting, you know, he was persecuting the church.
Yeah.
But how many, I mean, it would take a person really in tune with the Holy Ghost to say, to hear the Lord say, no, I've got a plan for this guy. I got a plan for him. You know, pray for him.
Yeah. Well, they finally came around.
Right.
But I will tell you that this situation has created a lot of division. A lot of people have bitterness and resentments from it, which is also very dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
And reality of it is you just got to let God do what he's going to do. And people don't like that. They think they direct what God is doing. And I'm sorry to say that the cruise is gone, people. If you had your prophetic antennas up for this dude, it's not him. Okay.
I tell you, that guy, oh, he so irritates me on every level.
Well, you know what annoyed me with him, I hate to say it, was but these soapbox like Shakespeare speeches he would do.
Uh-huh.
It was vomitous.
Yeah.
You know, you just get just like, oh my God. You know?
I couldn't, I could not listen to that guy for 4 years as president.
Could you imagine those Shakespeare speeches constantly? I would have to get out of here, man.
I don't know. At least, you know, the beautiful thing about Trump, and sometimes it hurts him, but, you know, most of the time, I think what the people love about him is he speaks from his heart. He just speaks what he thinks, what he feels, what he believes, and like it or don't like it, he, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it was crushing to the Cruz bots when our senator here in Alabama, one of the most conservative senators in the country, endorsed Trump. That just, I saw them literally, the gears grinding in their brains.
Well, I'm sure. You know, I mean, in Alabama was a tremendous victory for Donald Trump.
And, it was overwhelming. Yeah. In fact, that night we got invited, me and my wife, to the campaign headquarters to celebrate with them. And
wow.
So that was cool. I prayed with all the Alabama politicians and the guys heading up Trump's campaign here. And it was cool. But, yeah, he overwhelmingly. I mean, it was like Alabama was not even close for Cruz. And this was back when Cruz still had a lot of support.
Yes.
You know.
So. A lot of support. And I hate to say it, folks, but at this point now, you should start praying for Trump, praying for this abominable dictator to be cast into the bottomless pit for whatever, 1,000 years or whatever. We just get him out of here.
Yeah.
And I will. Listen, this going on with the bathrooms. I mean, have you ever seen a nation so twisted? And we're supposed to be the leader of the free world. And here we are, you know, grafting in homosexual marriages and now indoctrinating the children's minds with the idea that if you're a boy and you feel like a girl today, that you could just walk into the girls' locker room. I mean, and then I heard that this ordinance he's given out is also for college dorm, even like
ridiculous.
Yeah, like if you have a girl's dorm, you could stay there too.
Well, you know, this is what the Lord gave me. I mean, back in 2010, I wrote an article, one of the first articles that I wrote for when, you know, we had already had the church and I launched my personal ministry. And so one of the first articles I wrote for the webpage was called, Sodom and the Rape of Christianity. And what the Lord had me point out was that, you know, Lot's home represented the last little refuge of righteousness in the whole area of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. And that, you know, and I said, you know, homosexuality has always been around. And remember, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so will it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Mm. I said, what's the difference? I said, homosexuality has always been around. So what was Jesus talking about? I said, it's different. It's this militant, aggressive homosexuality that wants to push its way into every refuge of righteousness, into the church, now into the bathrooms. I mean, it's everything. Wow. They want to force their way in. They're not satisfied with the gay bars and their gay parades and, you know, they're you know, getting everything in Hollywood. You know, everything in Hollywood's pro-gay. They've pretty much got everything they want, but they just never satisfied.
Yeah, they
want to be ministers. They want to take over the Methodist church. They want to take over and lead worship, and it's ridiculous.
They want to take the cakes. They want your cake.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not satisfied just to be gay or be homosexual or whatever, but now we got to go after the Christians.
Yeah, it's wantingness. They just want to, listen, it's just like you said, and the angels had to blind them because they were in complete perversion.
Right.
They just wanted to get the angels and desecrate them.
Yeah.
You know, whatever is holy, they'll attack whatever is holy and sanctified.
And, of course, Lot speaks up and says, don't do this wickedness. And what do they go? Who are you? You know, who are you to judge us? You know, I mean,
that's where we're at, people. That's what's going on right now.
Yes.
You're watching that go on. They're taking the bathrooms.
The bathroom.
You can't even go to the bathroom now. This is crazy.
I look back, you know, I've been preaching now for almost 30 years preaching. I've been a Christian longer than that. I knew things would get bad in the end, and I knew things would get bad with sexual perversion. I knew it would increase. You know, we know things. I remember 30 years ago studying Bible prophecy. You know what's going to happen. But it's still hard to fathom that now, you know, just riding home today, listening to the radio, and, you know, telling them, oh, yeah, we're going to work with Atlanta students. We're going to, the Atlanta public schools. We're going to work with the gay and transgender youth and young people and children. I'm like, what planet are we on? What are we, where, what is going on?
In my opinion, we have to get rid of all the libtards. I hate to do it, but they got to go. You know, so my plan is to get Trump to round them up and just get, they got to go.
Yeah, I tell you, this is what
they could go to a different island, or we could set them up with the Chinese, make an island for them.
Well, here in Alabama, and us Alabamians and Texans and some of us Southern people, I've said, look, you know what? I'm all for, and I know this may sound radical, and it might get me a visit, more visits to my website from, you know, the Department of Defense and U.S. Cyber Command and everything else that's visited my website. But I said, you know, here's the deal. If they want to come down here and say, let's just say they want to force this upon us, and the next thing they're going to want to force upon us, of course, is, you know, lowering the age of consent so they can have sex with children and not go to jail over it. But it's at some point we have to draw the line. And what I mean by drawing the line is it's time for certain. I've told people, I said, you know, if this goes down, if it goes down bad, if Clinton wins, if something happens, if they assassinate Trump, if something were to happen terrible and our country's completely taken over, it's time for the southern states and whatever other conservative states, the flyover states, whatever they call it, to secede from the union and form a new nation. And I know that sounds radical. We've done it before for the wrong reasons.
That doesn't sound as radical as me rounding up all the libtards and dropping them in the Indian Ocean.
Well, yeah, that's...
my plan is a little bit more
radical. It's probably a little nicer to tell them, hey, if you want New York, go ahead and have New York. If you want...
No, you just fly them over the Indian Ocean. You know, pew, like that. You know, I mean, they got big freight airplanes. I'm serious. So, anyway, you know what? I got to get Pastor John Kyle on. Dean, Pastor Dean, thank you for joining us tonight, sir.
Oh, thank you for having me, brother.
And likewise, thank you for spending the time with us on the air tonight. And we hope to talk to you soon, sir.
We'll do it.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night. God bless.
All right, so we went a little bit over. I got to get Pastor John on. How many know that the devil is a liar? Huh? You do. I do. You do. But,
hello, Brother Rich.
Pastor John Kyle.
How are you tonight,
Colonel
sir?
Kyle. Colonel Kyle. I love it. How are you doing, sir?
I'm blessed, brother.
Listen, I hate to say it, but I might be living with you in the mountains of Montana soon.
All right. Well, you know, the mountains of Montana is a good place to be.
I might just Davy Crockett it and get one of those raccoon hats and just get up there, man. Because this is out of control.
Yeah. You know, we're living in some strange times, brother.
I was just talking to Pastor Dean, and he, you know, we were talking about it, and, you know, it's getting to the point where I would have to say this is almost traumatizing. You know, knowing that you have to embed into the minds of children. The issue of where to pee, you know, where you have to go to the bathroom, and if you feel like a girl, if you don't feel like a girl, if you feel like a boy, you go in there, and you know, I mean, this is crazy.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when the devil is kind of ruling things through this person who acts like a homosexual that's up in office. He does the exact things that a homosexual does, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. I hate to say it, but this is a Babylonian thing going on, because that's confusion, right? That's confusion.
Absolutely. It is confusion. And it's bringing confusion into the government schools, not that they aren't already confused, because they took God out, right? So they're already confused, but this is just adding more confusion to them.
Yeah, well, listen, we got to get God back in school. Bring prayer back in school. And get rid of all homosexuality in school, too. I mean, we got to get back to Leave It and Beaver generation. Because this is out of control.
Well, this is the perversion generation, brother. That's what we're living in, because that's what the person in office has promoted, perversion.
You know what? God, that, listen, I'm telling you, I've been warning people about that dude for years. I remember 2007, and he has actually gone over what I predicted, probably. I said he would be an abominable, I mean, this guy... I mean, did you ever think that he would pull this? What's next with him? What's next?
Well, yeah, well, everything he can do before his term is up.
My
That's
God.
What's next. Everything wicked that he said he's a Christian, right? But we know that that's just a lie, because Christians don't do these things. So.
That's right. Well, without further ado, if you do have a word from the Lord or something impressed upon your heart you would like to minister to the audience tonight, that would be just great, Pastor John.
Okay, well, I'll do it. Yeah, something on my heart that I think is timely for the situation we're in today. So I'll go right into it. We're going to talk about a little bit about the force of fear, because I'm seeing Christians are cowering in fear. They just won't stand up. They won't speak up, and they're bowing into pressure. Our churches are bowing into pressure today. And, you know, fear comes to take the life from you. And that's what's happening in the church right now. The fear is taking the life out of the church, because they're so concerned with being politically correct today, religiously correct, and they want to fit in with the world with this this relevance movement look like them, act like them, try to win them, but it doesn't work that way. Faith comes to give us life. Fear freezes life, and it stops people from launching out into the deep, like the Lord called us to launch out into the deep for a big catch. Oh, but we labored all night and we caught nothing. But yeah, we got the word of the Lord right now. We need to act on the word of the Lord and not let fear, the word of Satan, intimidate us. And it has been intimidating believers today. See, fear will work against you, and faith will work for you. Fear is a paralyzer. Faith is a deliverer and a healer. I remember one night years ago, the enemy came into my room and attacked me. Cold, stark fear paralyzed me, and really, I think that Satan was trying to kill me, and his devils were. I'm sure it wasn't Satan himself, but my heart stopped, and I didn't know much about warfare way back then, but, you know, I couldn't say I rebuke you, but I did manage to get out Jesus, and yeah, I was paralyzed with fear. I was a young Christian. I didn't know a lot, but I prevailed and said, Jesus, I called upon him. I didn't let fear destroy me. And, you know, fear is going to destroy a lot of Christians today, because they're yielding to it. They're surrendering to it. And they're ruled by fear. Fear influences their decisions. And they're afraid to speak up about things like you, brother, are speaking up about here on the program tonight. I've been listening. And, yeah, you're speaking out about perversion. You're speaking out against the works of darkness and confusion in the land. And see, fear influences too many people in the church today. It's affected their lives for the bad. And it's caused them to think and act in certain ways that are not in alignment with the Word of God, because God has told us, 366 times, fear not. So they're absolutely disobedient to the Word of God, because they're fearing the beast system. They're fearing the Babylonian system. Fear has turned on the dark in their lives, and they're yielding to the dark because of that. You know, faith turns on the bright and the light, but fear turns on the dark, the bondage. And so just as there is a switch for light, you know, there's a switch for the dark. Everybody goes in their home at night, they turn on the light switch. And that's normal, okay, to turn on the light switch. But it's not normal to turn on the dark switch. And, you know, your house doesn't have a dark switch. You know, it has a light switch. And it's not normal to turn on a dark switch. But it is normal to turn on a light switch. And we should think about things more. You know, many Christians have turned on a dark switch and they're living in fear, and that's not normal for a Christian today who's been repeatedly told, fear not, fear not, fear not, you're a saint of God. You've been called to live in this hour, this season that we're living in right now. and to stand up against darkness and be a watchman, speak out that the king is coming and it's time to repent, nation. People are troubled by end time fears or last days fear. Hey, it's a real fear. I mean, the Bible says men's heart will fail them for fear, yet the Bible warns us of it. I mean, it's turning on the dark switch. It's up to you. It's up to me as believers to keep the demon from destroying us with fear. We have authority. The Bible says the spirits are subject to us. It didn't say just some of the spirits. It just said the spirits. So that means the spirits, little, big, principality, powers, Satan himself, they're subject to us. And so it's up to us to put that enforcement on them and go and possess the land and declare that Jesus is Lord and declare righteousness instead of let this darkness kind of have its way with just all these preachers getting tattooed up and trying to look just like the world thinking it's cool. It's not cool. It's dark. They've turned on the dark switch in the churches today, man. You know, God has given you what you need, you know, but you're not walking in it. His word, dominion over darkness, you know, that's what we've been given in a mouth to speak with authority and with force. But what are we doing? We're trying to speak in alignment with the dark spirit of this world. And that's not in accordance with the word of God. And many are like me, you know, that night that I was paralyzed for a moment as the enemy stopped my heart. Many Christians like that. They fear has locked them up. I mean, it has just paralyzed them. And therefore, they've just turned on the dark switch in their lives by allowing these spirits of fear to dominate them. And, you know, they're not going to be very bold. They're not going to speak out against the things that are being forced upon the nation today by those that are ruled by Lucifer, by Satan, by darkness. I mean, listen, we can't live that way. We have more than that within us. We have a higher calling than that. Embedded spirits of fear have sold you a deception out there. You're afraid of the future, afraid of standing up for righteousness, afraid to speak up the truth in a land of lies where lies are promoted on the evening news and just people just buy into the lies so easily. And we're afraid to speak out with righteousness, but no, we have a compromised political party, and that's why they're all attacking Trump, because he doesn't want to go with the flow of the way that the compromised party has been in the past, and so he's not playing the game, see? And so everybody's afraid because, you know, they got stuff on all of them, right? And they're trying to do this thing on his taxes now. Anything they can, they're trying to come up with. Oh, how he treats women, or oh, how he won't reveal his taxes, he won't reveal his tax return, he won't reveal his money. You know, see, everybody's just using everything they can to attack this person because he's not going with the flow. And so they're bound by fear themselves because they don't want somebody in there that might, you know, just expose them. Embedded spirits of fear sold people a deception. You're afraid. Oh, you're afraid of things that have not even happened to you yet. Yet you're afraid, and they may never happen to you. But there's this fear of the unknown. You know, this fear of the unknown as if it's already known. Well, it's not known. God says he's going to be for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? This is not a time to cower in fear, but it's a time to be bold in faith. It's a time to step forward with the anointing of the Holy Spirit today, and bind up those demons, bind up that spirit of the age that is just trying to be so dominant and prevalent. But remember, Jesus said, I've given you dominion in the earth. You know, these people are trying to take dominion out of our hand because the church is not using their dominion appropriately and properly. They're not taking up the mantle of dominion that they've been given. You know, oh, to be like that little child again who believes whatever mommy and daddy tells them, right? Oh, but no, not anymore. I've grown up. You know, I'm an adult now. I live in fear. I don't do trust real well. And that's what Christians are really saying by their actions today, see? And yet Jesus says, go back and be like a little child. See, a lot of things that you hear or listen to is like turning on the dark switch. And then when you turn that on, well, what works in darkness? Well, every manner of wickedness, fear steps in. Fear is in darkness, and yet you continue to feed on it. You know, feeding on the wrong thing is going to give you, your body is going to be producing unhealthy things if you feed on the wrong thing long enough. And that's what Christians have been doing, because a long time ago they dropped a ball and they quit standing up for righteousness in the public eye because, oh, we're getting raptured out of here any minute now, so we really don't have to stand up, do we? I mean, really? Come on, we're just stay in our little church and wait for the rapture to come. Well, you dropped the ball, saint. God called you to more than that. He called you to possess the land and occupy it till I come, not lay back in your church somewhere, wait on the rapture to take place. Listen, it isn't going to go that way anyway. Come on. You know, some things you listen to have fear spirits that are sent out with it, and they bait you to pick up those fears that are within what's been sent out with the with the news or with a certain program on a movie or whatever. They have fear attached to it. And you bite that bait when it comes out, and listen, you're in bondage. You know, and God doesn't want his people in bondage. He wants us free. He wants us walking in liberty and boldness. In fact, the Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion, so it's not time to just become a little wimp. It's time to stand up and proclaim truth and not be intimidated. Today, some Mormon pulled up behind me, and, well, I have a little sign I put up that says Mormons are a cult. I put that up in my window, and they looking at it, and they put up, they put up a little little Mormon book. What's the little thing called, the Mormon book, that Joseph Smith thing? And I just turned my sign around and said, go back to Salt Lake City, you cult. We got to be bold. We can't be ashamed. Listen, they put up their little book, and they got their little holy underwear on, and they think that makes them something, and they call them elders when they're not even old enough to begin to be an elder, because they haven't learned anything at 18 and go out and be an elder. Come on now. Anyway, don't want to get off on that. But, you know, another can listen to the same words spoken, and they can reject fear because they're walking in the anointing of God, and they're not receiving fear, see? We don't need to receive fear. We need to receive and walk in faith. You need to learn not to turn that dark switch on. You need to learn to keep the light switch on at all times. You know, say you hear of how so very many people are getting diabetes or heart disease or cancer, or you hear that everybody is giving in to the homosexual agenda, and they're welcoming homosexuals in their church, and they're making them deacons and elders, and so that means you ought to do it too, right? You need to just jump in on that bandwagon and run with that. No, fear is there with the speaking of that stuff, because everybody's doing it, and you feel like you're going to be like the man on the outside. You know, you're going to be left out because you're not going with the flow of things. You know, listen, that's a dangerous place to let yourself get just because they're all doing it. If everybody's just jumping off the cliff, you're going to jump off with them? Come on. I mean, that doesn't even make logical sense. But then again, when you're under that deception that's come from the top up there, then, you know, you do things that don't make sense because they're doing things that don't make sense. And so you fall under the spell, because the nation is under spell right now. There's been a spell going out from D.C. for quite a while now, and people have fallen under that spell. And fear is one of the main ways they operate, because we're going to cut off your funding, you know, if you don't let the homosexuals go and the transgender use the bathroom of their choice, and we'll just cut off your funding if you don't go with the D.C.'s orders, right? So, we're intimidated by that. We don't want to lose those millions of dollars. We don't want to do that, see? Well, we got to be on guard against this fear thing, because the word spoken can contain a temptation to be snared, okay? Because we're snared by the words of our own mouth, but we're also snared by the words of other people's mouth when we buy into them. And see, the enemy is coming in from many directions today, seeking to snare and trap God's people with these fear demons so they won't speak out, so they won't stand up, so they won't put a Trump bumper sticker on their car because, if we do that, they might wreck my car, they might bust my window out or something like that. Well, hey, if everybody has that kind of attitude, nothing's going to be accomplished, right? You're just going to cower in fear. You know, fear has come in like a flood upon people today in this nation. And fear, you know, is a strong temptation, which if you yield to it over and over, then it carries many demons. And you pick up those fear devils, and you're just going to cower more. You know, we live in a rapidly changing and unstable time. And our nation has been going through major change for the worse. And listen, there's no mercy in fear. It's designed to dominate your thought process and trouble you all the days of your life. So if you start yielding to it, then you're going to continue yielding to it until you begin to break the process of that devil's work in your life. See, it is designed to sabotage any faith that you have in Jesus, any boldness that you have in the Lord. It's designed to do that. It's designed to take you off his word and cause you to focus on the situation and circumstances at hand. And man, it requires spiritual warfare, saints, to prevail against this fear. And you need to learn to war against fear until you stop it in your life, saints. You've got to stop this enemy. This is an enemy of faith. This is an enemy of God, because Satan's primary weapon is deception and fear. See, he loves to use this because this is how he brings people under his control grid, right? And so we don't want to be under anybody's control grid of this earth, because the whole world lies in wickedness. We're in a different dimension control grid. We're under God's control grid. We need to submit and yield to that continually, all right, the Lord's lordship over our lives, see. And so you need to declare war on fear. You need to continue to war against it and learn to war against it until you totally stop it dead in its track and get rid of it from your life. Expose it, ruin it, quench its ability to paralyze you, remove it completely from your thinking process, your mind, and replace it with God-given, Jesus-authored authority and faith. And you need to practice staying your mind on God's word and his truth, because listen, it's only going to get more intense from here. It's not going to get easier from here. It's going to get more intense, because we're going through a very intense season in the earth right now that if God's people don't stand up, they're going to be run over more and more, and they're going to be killed, right? Because that's where it's going to go to. It's going to go to, well, you're just a bunch of intolerant people. We need to remove you. You know, just like they legalized euthanasia in a lot of these countries of Europe, right? They're just letting them kill themselves. Well, we got to get rid of the Christians now, you know, because they're just really a thorn in our agendas. You know, they're the only ones that really, at least some of them, stand up against this homosexual agenda, the LGBT and all this. You know, they're the only ones that are doing that. So, listen, we just need to stomp them out and put them away somewhere, you know, or just put them in a mental institution. They're mentally ill. So you need to practice staying your mind on God's word and his truth. It needs to become our nature to think word, not fear. When we hear these things, when we come against these things and we see what's going on, see, a lot of you need to change your mental processing, okay? Your mental processes, because they're messed up and they're formed by the world system and its forms of thinking and mental functioning, which is a wrong mental functioning because it's formed after the world. I mean, listen, if you went to the government school, you've been programmed. And until you unprogram the programming, you're going to easily fall sway to whatever is dictated by the system that is antichrist in nature, right? It is ruled by antichrist spirits. And, of course, Scripture said there are many antichrists in the world, many instead of Christ, many antichrist. And so there is the world's way, which is the devil's way, and then there's God's way, which is a new creation way of thinking and mental processing of the information that comes into your mind. And see, when you have that slant of thinking in your mind that has been formed by a government school system and their way of thinking, listening to the media all the time and hearing their way of thinking, then it goes through that type of processing, and it hinders you from being bold in God, okay? And we don't want to go that way. We want to be bold in God all the days of our life, and we want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life and feast at his table. And his table is not polluted with perversion and anal sex and perverted sex and all manner of sick and disgusting things that they do. I mean, listen, when the government promotes this kind of perversion, and they're saying it's okay, then you got to wonder where, what kind of filth is in their brain, right? Because listen, this, you think about what they do in darkness, what they do in their among themselves, it's sick, and what they want to do to their children, it's sick, it's perverted, it's in great darkness, and it's, and we just cannot sit back and just say, okay, whatever will be, will be. No, no, we can't think that way as believers in Jesus. We got to get bold. We got to get determined to promote the Word of God. See, our mental habits often have embedded and hidden demons, which keep certain ways of thinking in place within our lives. As we uncover these things, we're going to see what has been hiding under our thinking and our mental habits, our thinking processes, and our mental habits. We've got to get these things uncovered, and what do we uncover them with? Well, we've got to use the Word of God. The Word of God uncovers darkness, okay? We got to use the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus cleanses out darkness. We got to use the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we cast out the darkness within us, okay? Of course, they can't get in your spirit as a believer, but they're in your body, they're in your soul. Demons are there. Okay, they're inhabiting those areas of your life, and we need to cast those devils out of there and not be intimidated by them. You know, thinking is so often polluted by demons. It can be even generational spirits who have inhabited a family line for generations, keeping them repeating the same mistakes and thinking along the same lines year after year. You know, family members after family members. Listen, we have been molded by more than our own life alone, and we've got to begin to look deeper than what we've looked. So many people just live at surface level, and therefore they stay in bondage all their lives. We don't need to live just surface level. We've got to see beyond the surface. We got to see what those familiar spirits are doing in our life, what those family line spirits have been doing, what those generational spirits. Maybe there was perversion in your family line, so it's real easy to get in agreement with this world system today because of the perversion in it. We got to uncover these dark places. We got to turn the light switch on. Quit turning that dark switch on. Sexual sins are repeated even if in different forms. Still, they're repeated bondages. Financial sins are repeated. Life patterns are repeated. Until the family dark switch has been turned off, then they're all going to be repeated. All right? And see, I got to bring this thing in for landing here pretty quick here. But even if some members of a family get saved and stop the patterns in themselves, those who are not saved, even their own children, are going to repeat them over and over. Each person has to individually break these things off their lives, or they'll end up repeating them, okay? So we have got to wake up. Now is the season for the church to rise up. You know, something had been wrong in Zion, but now is the time to right the thing. We cannot live our lives as a slave of fear. We've not been called to slavehood. We've been called to kinghood. Right? God says we are kings and priests. We are blood handlers. If we don't start handling the blood properly and using it everywhere we go, then we're not going to possess the ground that we are walking in this in this country, this once great country, and it can be changed, you know. But fear is going to give you a wrong mentality about things. You'll see God wrongly, you'll see our situations and circumstances wrongly, and you'll be a slave to fear. Satan wants people to be a slave. God wants to be a free people. He's called you to be a free person in Him, not to live under bondage. So what does He use to enslave a person? Just fear, fear, fear. You and I will not live free until we successfully overcome fear. Fear is bondage to darkness in one way or another. Love and living in perfect love is liberty and freedom. So we got to fill ourselves with the love of God and walk by faith and declare boldly our heritage in Jesus' name. Father, we thank You for this tonight. Give Your people holy boldness in this hour. Let them stand up for truth. Let them stand up for those that are righteous, those who are called of God to make a difference in the nation right now. In Jesus' name, thank You, Lord, and deliver them from every wicked spirit that may be attached to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, brother. Amen. That's right. And yeah, I was just thinking about my mom when they attacked her car, the Bernie people, and destroyed my mom's car. You know, they hacked it up. It was a brand new car because she had a Trump bumper sticker. And then they scraped it off, and then the police told her, you know, it was probably Bernie people. They're very violent.
Oh, they are. Yeah, yeah. They've been sent.
Very violent. And then, you know, my mom did say, I don't want to put another one because she just got it repainted. So, you know, I mean, I could kind of see, you know, the intimidation that they're using to destroy you. And then, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's fear. I mean, they'll use it, man. We got to be strong.
Amen. Well, we are at the top. Pastor Kyle, can you just give out your contact information real quick? 30 seconds?
Oh, yeah. The Oasis, theoasisplace.org is the website, theoasisplace.org.
Praise
and,
God.
And email theoasis1, the number one, at localnet.com.
Praise God. Thank you, Pastor John.
Thank you for having me, brother.
Good night, sir.
Bye-bye.
All right, Pastor John, we love you. The Lord loves you. And he loves you more than we love you. So we will see you next week by the grace of God. Peace.